All right, thank you guys for being here this late. And I think by the time the session is over, it will be my bedtime. So the first session is on the cost of asthma at the state level and the payer-specific estimates. And for those of you who attended the chronic disease cost calculator session on Sunday or are familiar with the chronic disease cost calculator, this methodology is the same as what used in that calculator. We've just updated the asthma estimates using more recently available data. So that's the main difference. So this study was funded by CDC. I have to put this disclaimer that the findings do not represent CDC views. And then the list of the authors who worked on this project with me. So to give you kind of a quick overview of what we'll be doing, we'll talk a little bit about asthma in general and the objective of the study, what were the data and methods that we used for this analysis. We'll look at some fancy maps and results, and then we'll talk about strengths, limitations, and conclusions. So asthma is a, for those of you who don't know, is a chronic inflammatory condition of the airways, and the symptoms that come with it are coughing, wheezing, difficulty breathing, and tightness in the chest. This condition affects individuals of all ages, as we'll see later on, but as far as kids are concerned, it is one of the most prevalent conditions, chronic conditions among kids. It's associated with increased healthcare utilization and decreased quality of life and increased absenteeism from both work for adults and school for children. And asthma attacks usually lead to major driver of hospitalizations and emergency room visits. So, and that drives the higher costs, medical costs associated with asthma. As many of you are probably aware, that various national and state public health organizations work to reduce the burden of asthma in the population through various asthma programs. And so the objective of this study was to use the most recently available data to look at state-level estimates of annual medical costs by payer, and then we also show state-level projections of medical costs. For those of you who are familiar with the chronic disease cost calculator, I'll point out that there's another piece that the chronic disease cost calculator reports, which is absenteeism costs. And those are also included in our analysis and will come out with the paper when it's published. But I just didn't include them here because we only have 15 minutes to cover everything. So the primary source of data is 2008 through 2012 MEPS data. So this is kind of the major update from the chronic disease cost calculator, because there we use data from 2004 through 2008. So this is more recently, at the time that when we did this, this was the most recently available data. And that's our primary source of data is MEPS. It's administered by ARC, which is the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality, and it's a nationally representative civilian non-institutionalized population that is represented there. And so non-institutionalized is actually important because we'll talk in a few minutes that we have to adjust our estimates to make sure that we include long-term care population. And so the data set includes a wide range of characteristics, both kind of sociodemographic and medical conditions, and also healthcare utilization and costs. And then we had to supplement our analyses with a variety of other data sources. The National Nursing Home Survey, we used that to adjust for long-term care. And then the other data sources are listed here. And the rest of them, most of them are used to get at the counts of people within various payer populations. So the way that we define asthma for this analysis, so the way that MEPS does it is that people self-report various conditions, and then MEPS has coders who transcribe the verbal responses to ICD-9 codes. And then those ICD-9 codes are also classified into CCS, which is the Clinical Classification System codes. So for this project, for this analysis, we use the ICD-9 code of 493 or the Clinical Classification System code of 128 to define asthma. An important point is that we look at what we call treated prevalence of asthma, so we restrict the analysis to those people who have had a an asthma episode that was treated during the year. So either medication, they were either prescribed medications or had a medical visit with a medical professional. So that's different than what's called lifetime or stated prevalence of asthma, so which is usually defined by the question, have you ever been told by a health professional that you have asthma? So we have four different payer categories for which we're showing the results. The first is all payers combined, and then the three others are Medicare, Medicaid, and private insurance. And the all payers combined includes more than just the bottom three. It also includes other federal payers such as TRICARE or VA, and then we also include the costs paid by the uninsured and the out-of-pocket costs paid by patients. All right. The prevalence of asthma was estimated using 2008 through 2012 MEPS data. We used a logistic regression to predict probability of a person having asthma by region, payer, age, and sex. And we also controlled for sociodemographic characteristics. We then adjusted that prevalence using data from the National Nursing Home Survey to account for long-term care population because, like I said, MEPS does not include institutionalized population. So the formula at the bottom just shows you that we calculated in each state and payer group the number of people with asthma by multiplying the total number of people in each state, payer, age, sex group by the prevalence that was estimated by region, payer, age, sex. So the prevalence, which is the percentage of people with asthma, is not state-specific, it's region-specific, and then we apply that to the number of people in each state. For per-person medical costs, we also used 2008 through 2012 MEPS. We used a two-part regression model. I'm not going to go into details of what exactly it is. I can provide that. If you have any questions, I can talk about that later. So the model, though, was at the national level. So we obtained per-person costs attributable to asthma at the national level. But then we used earlier data from 2003 MEPS, and we had restricted access data file for that. And so using that data, we were able, that restricted access data file had state indicators. So we were able to generate what we called adjustment factors for 30 large states, and then for the rest of the states, we just used census region adjustment factors. So those factors were supposed to help us account for geographic variation in medical costs. So we applied those to our national per-person cost estimates and came up with a state-level per-person cost for attributable to asthma. And then once again, we used the National Nursing Home Survey data to account for long-term care population. So the total asthma attributable costs in each state payer category were calculated by taking the number of people with asthma in each state payer age sex group and multiplying that by the per-person estimate in the corresponding cell. Projections of medical costs. We did this for all payers only, so we don't separate this by the different payer categories. The projections included in this analysis are for 5 years from 2015 through 2020. We got the number of people in each year who are projected to have asthma by taking the projections of population from the census in each state age sex group and then multiplying that by prevalence of asthma in each region age sex. So kind of an important assumption here is that within each age sex group, we assume that the prevalence of asthma will not change. But because we multiply that by the projected number of people in these cells, kind of our overall prevalence will grow because of the aging of the population. And then same thing for the projected medical cost. We assume that within each age sex cell, the per-person cost of asthma will not change. But we multiply that by the number of people with asthma in that same cell, and those numbers will change, and that's what's driving the increases in projected costs. We do apply a rate of 2.56% to the, which we consider to be the growth in medical cost, and we got that from the Congressional Budget Office data. So, like I mentioned, our projections assume that all of the growth is driven by the changes in the population size and demographics, mostly the aging of the population. And also, we do account for the expected growth in medical costs. But we do not account for any potential changes in insurance coverage or technology. All right, so now we'll go through the results. So this is at the national level, prevalence of asthma by age and payer categories. So the blue is the all payers, orange is Medicaid, greenish color is Medicare, and yellow is private insurance. So as you'll see, the highest prevalence estimates are for the oldest and for the youngest populations. And so kind of in the middle, for the people in the middle, prevalence dips down. By payer, for those younger than 65, the highest prevalence is among Medicare population. And that it kind of makes sense because those who are on Medicare and are younger than 65 probably have really big major health issues. So there's more of them who will have asthma as well. Private insurance, with the exception of those who are 65 and older, usually has the lowest prevalence. All right, so this is at the national level. So this is one of the maps that we have, and this shows the total number of people with asthma in each of the states. And I do have tables that actually show these numbers by state if you want to look at them now, or I'll also let you know when the paper is supposed to come out so you can look at that later. But so the lightest shade shows you the states where the number of people with asthma is less than 50,000. And then the darkest shade is the number of people, more than 500,000 people. And in three of the states, I think California, Texas, and Florida, the number of people is actually over 1 million with asthma. And so as you would expect, kind of these are driven by state size. So the states with the lowest population will have the lower number of people with asthma, and the states with the higher population will have the higher number of people with asthma. This is once again at the national level, per person medical asthma attributable costs. Once again, by payer and by age. So as you would expect, you see that the costs go up with age. So from about $1,000 for children ages 0 to 17 up to over $4,500 for those aged 65 and older. By payer, usually the pattern is that the private insurance cost is the highest per person and the Medicare is the lowest. All right, this is another map where we show total annual medical costs for each of the states. This is a similar pattern as what we saw in the number of people with asthma, because it's just taking the per person cost and multiplying it by the number of people with asthma. So that the lightest shade states have total costs of under $200 million, and the darkest shade is over $1 billion. All right. So once again, national numbers. All payers, the estimate is about $34 billion. For Medicare and Medicaid, it's about $4.5 billion each, which also translates to about 13% of total costs each. And then private insurance has paid over $15 billion. I'm sorry, million. Billion. Million. I'm really... I think these are... I thought these were... This should be $34 billion, but I might be wrong. I have to go back. I'm sorry. I think it's millions. Yes, $34 million total. And so private insurance is paying $15 million, which is about 26%. All right, so percentage of total costs paid by Medicare and Medicaid. So this map, the kind of the coloring of the map looks different from what we have seen before. So this just the lightest shade shows you the percentage where the percentage of total costs that are paid for by Medicare and Medicaid is under 21%, and the darkest shade is over 30%. So that variation is not that big, but it's still between 20 and 30% is where most of the states are. And this shows, this graph shows that it's in billions of dollars. I'm sorry, I have to go back and confirm if it's millions or billions that we're talking about. So this is projections of medical costs of asthma. So in 2015, the projected cost is about $38 billion, and it's expected to increase to $46 billion by 2020, which is a 22% increase in costs. And then this map shows you the range of increases in costs across the states. So the states with the kind of largest increases indicate most likely just the larger growth in population, and mostly in the older population. All right. So I'm going to quickly walk through the next few slides. So the limitations of the analyses are that MEPS may underestimate the total medical expenditures. Just keep in mind that the per-person costs are based on a national model rather than state-specific, even though we do adjust for state-specific variation. We can't really calculate variance easily or directly because there are so many different data sources that are being used in the analysis. And one thing I need to point out is the results are not – we discourage from comparing results across the states directly. Strengths of the analyses are that we're using the most recently available data. The statistical method is an advanced and rigorous approach. And even though per-person costs are out of the national model, we do adjust for geographic variation in costs. So final remarks are that we provide estimates of current and future economic burden of asthma at the state level. So as you would expect, the results suggest that there is a substantial burden of asthma for each of the states, and these costs are only expected to grow in the future. And we hope that policymakers, program managers, and evaluators can use these results to help them identify potential areas for reducing asthma burden in each of the states. So with that, I'm going to close.
Is it just because the 0 to 17 group is such a small group in terms of numbers? Is that what it's related to?
So we actually...
Oh, and that's prevalence, but I wanted the cost.
Sorry, yeah, cost, yeah. I'm trying to remember, because we did look at kids 0 to 5, or 0 to 4, 5 mm-hmm. to 14, and then 14 to 17. I can't remember exactly if we found that the youngest have the highest... cost. I think for hospitalization data, if you look at it on average per person who was hospitalized, mm-hmm. that's going to be higher than the average, because if you're hospitalized, by definition, you're going to incur costs mm-hmm. versus over the entire population of kids with asthma. Does that make sense?
No, because you know, if I looked at a graph like this of hospitalizations, kids under 5 would be by far would have the highest rates of any age group.
So even just hospitalization rate?
Mm-hmm. And
okay.
ED visits, yeah. But maybe it has to do with the actual numbers of people in each age group too, that are contributing to the cost.
Right.
Oh, maybe because of competing or comorbid conditions.
Right, yeah.
But you're only measuring asthma costs.
Asthma attributable, right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, so we control for 19 other conditions.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And I should say also, so these results, the paper describing these results in a lot more detail with the correct number, whether it's billion or million,
is.
Yes. Yeah. Is under review with the Journal of Asthma right now, so hopefully in the next few months it'll come out and will be available. All right, sorry, we can talk at the end. All right, I'm done.